to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And welcome to 2026. This is your first bonus episode. I think our first bonus episode we've ever actually done in 2 years,
I think,
which is crazy.
Might have done 3 episodes last October.
That does sound like something we would do. So maybe we have, but are we surprised that we don't remember for sure? No, we are not. So here it is. So we decided that we would kind of do something like we did in December, but kind of just recap what we read in 2025 off our most anticipated list, our quick thoughts, and also what are we looking forward to in 2026, because there are some really great books, surprise, surprise, and we are excited to just blab our hearts out about every single one.
I love to talk. Too.
Is anyone surprised we made a podcast? So of course.
Just so we could talk to each other.
Okay. So you, in terms of what we said our most anticipated 2025 reads were, you read way more, not only from your list, but from my list as well. So how does it feel to be so successful of a reader?
I put in work this year. My reading goal is 75. I have 73 right now, and I'm pretty confident that I'm going to finish. But, you know, I'm also on season 11 of Grey's Anatomy, so somebody help me. But yeah, without audio, I would be lost. Without Libro FM to raise me up, I would have fallen. But yeah, I read a lot of these books. Of the, I don't even know how many there are, but 20! Look at us. Wow. Yeah, of the 20, I think I've read over half.
Oh, that's so crazy. I read 2, 4, 5, 7.
That's almost half.
Almost half. And to be fair, I did try to start a couple and it just was wrong time. I had like some weird reading slumps, or just this year was really weird. And like, I just didn't have the brain capacity sometimes to want to read the books I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I would just go stretches of like, nothing was hooking my attention. So it did take me some time to kind of get going here and there.
No, I totally understand that. I felt the same way. That's why, like, most of my books, over half of my reading this year has been audio, because I can't.
Yes. Yeah. I go through, do you go through it too, where you read too, like, you listen to too many audiobooks, and you're like, I need to listen to a podcast or something else, because I don't know what is happening to my brain right now.
Yeah, I did. Maybe like halfway through the year or further, I don't know. I got really behind in reading because I, like, listened to so many audiobooks that I just couldn't take it anymore, and I listened to music for a solid couple of months, and then I was like, oh, I'm, you know, 15 books behind schedule. And
whoa,
I did another,
you're still about to hit your reading goal. That's awesome.
Yeah, I did another audiobook binge, and I finished like 6 books in 1 week, and I'm not feeling burnt out. I'm doing good. Well, I guess I am feeling burnt out a little because I have once again stopped. But I'm going to make it.
Yeah, I had to pause, I think, binging so many of the Zodiac Academy audios in one go, like I was doing, was
unwell.
Not my best decision. And I had to take a break just thinking about the fact that I still have 40 hours of listening to finish this series, and I have a book and a half left. So I definitely had to take a little break and have binged a couple other books. I listened to a rom-com this year, you guys. I don't know what is happening. It is very wild.
But, yay, fun.
Yeah, that is not on our list. We're talking about what we read in 2025. Is there one book that on our list that you were surprised by the most, or that is like the most memorable read for you?
Sunrise on the Reaping, probably.
Okay, yes. I hear some people like had some mixed reactions to that, I feel like.
Well, those
like,
people are stupid.
No, but I think it was like our two feelings, where it was like, I'm not surprised at what happened, because Haymitch, you know, obviously he went through some stuff and became an alcoholic, so it wasn't gonna be good. And you were like, this is amazing. I'm not saying it wasn't amazing, but it was kind of, I don't know, expecting something.
My fire for rebellion has been fueled, and that's all I really needed in 2025, so I'm good to go.
That is very fair. That is very fair. No, Sunrise on the Reaping was really good.
It's recording again.
We're back. Whoa. Okay. Right. Where were we? Let's see.
I guess. Okay. I don't know. You were going to talk about What Hunger.
I was going to talk about What Hunger. One of the books that I think really lived up to the hype for me that we were both really excited for was What Hunger by Catherine Deng. Did you feel the same way?
I did. I really liked that story. I love, you know, coming of age. And we did talk about that book here. So I wasn't surprised, really, because I knew I was going to love it. But it is one of the standouts, probably.
I would agree. I would agree. What's the next one on your list?
I liked The Possession of Alba Diaz.
Shocker, of course you did. Yes.
By Isabel Cañas, which we talked about for like 9 episodes straight.
We did.
So I have to bring it up again. You know, it was a classic slow burn historical horror, and it worked really well.
I know one that we both read and loved was When the Wolf Comes Home by Nat Cassidy.
Yes, although it hurt my feelings.
Yes, many crimes were done to us by reading this book. It was very sad.
So and many crimes.
It was also really good.
But it was one of those books that like made me excited about reading again. So that's exciting. Like, that's fun. But it wasn't exactly what I was expecting, but at the same time it was. And after I read that, I was like, ooh, horror. And then almost everything I read this year was horror because that one hit so hard.
Yes, it really did. That one was so good. And it was cool because, you know, I think there was a lot, and they did a good job with the synopsis in the sense that, like, you knew, of course, the basics, but it didn't give everything away. So there was still a lot of surprising elements where you're like, wait a second, what is happening here? It was really well done.
I think The Unworthy by Augustina Bastrika, I don't know if you got to that one. I did it on audio and it was short, and I know I've talked about it before, but I think that one was maybe the most shocking because it was like so brutal for such a short novel. Mm-hmm. But that one lives in my brain rent-free, sometimes unfortunately.
I haven't read that yet. I know I was excited. And that was on my list, and I still haven't read it yet, so I need to. I definitely feel like a horror binge coming on. I feel like I've gotten some arcs for some stuff that I'm super excited for, but I'm trying to wait, but I'm like, I'm gearing up for horror. I'm actually starting 2 horror books this weekend, so I guess I'm already there.
I'm in a real big fantasy mood, I guess. Mm. And now I can't remember what book started it, but I finished something, and I was like, oh yes, that has struck a chord.
I was too, and then that's why, I don't know why this wasn't on my list, but I finished Cold Wire by Chloe Gong, and that book was so good. That ending, phenomenal. She is a genius. So, not on our 2025 list, but still something you guys should read if you have not. And be in pain with me that we have to wait for the sequel, because that ending was something.
It was I, Medusa.
You dummy. You know what? I can't remember what got me into the mood. Our January pick.
Christmas has truly ruined my brain. All right. Anyway.
Okay, we have to talk about it because we both read it. Actually, I think you read it. I know I read it. Onyx Storm.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Okay. I liked it. I don't care what anyone says. I thought it was fun.
Did you like the second book?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, at
least 5 stars.
No, I didn't, but 5 star rating. You liked, okay. Are you excited for the next one?
I will read it.
Okay, so that's a no.
I don't know. I'm scared because I feel like we've talked about this, but like she did, I thought well with the first one. I see people's faults and complaints and blah, blah, blah. The second one, utter nonsense. Wah, wah, wah. That's the whole story. Just whine, 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 whine. The third one, I feel, is a return to fantasy. Less and yes.
And more
fantasy. And people didn't like it because they were like, what's all this traveling? Where is this expansive map coming from? What are we doing? And I'm like, I don't look at the map.
Like we're going on an adventure. What do you think we're doing?
That's the point. So I can see why some people didn't like it. I can see how some people are like, oh, they're overcomplicating it and stretching it out so she can do 5 books or whatever. I don't care. I liked it. I'll read the next one. But it's another one of those things where I'm like, if the next one isn't great, do I need the series? I don't know. But yeah. I'm a glutton for punishment, so I'm going to read them all anyway.
Oh, I'll live vicariously through you because I feel like this next one, I don't know. I'm like teetering on the edge of wanting to continue and not to continue, but if she does something, if she kills off a character, I will stop the series. I am not afraid to. I'm not doing it. Peace out. Thanks. If she kills Riddick, I'm done.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm not doing it anymore. I will stop. Can't do it. Thanks. He's the best part of that book.
He is, yeah. And Broccoli. Is that a spoiler?
Who is Broccoli?
It's a cat.
Okay, I was like, that is the cat, right? Okay.
Did I make that up? I didn't make that up.
That's real. Don't remember, to be honest. I don't remember. Speaking of fantasy series, the only other... Oh, no, there's one more on my list we haven't talked about yet, but I did read Oathbound by Tracy Dion and The Ashfire King by Chelsea Abdullah, and it's funny that they were good, but I had the same issue with both of them that I kind of had somewhat like with... Not exactly. I like... What sucks when you have, like, a really strong ensemble cast is when they're broken up for whatever reason, and it could be the best reasons in the world. They need to be separated because there's these different, like, something has to happen for each of them to move forward. But it just makes the dynamic feel so different. And that's what both of those had, where it was still really good. It just felt so different. Not so different. It just felt different than the first couple or the first one, but still... really enjoyable. Like, it was like a minor thing where it was like the vibes are a little different now, but they kind of had to be for the ending
for the
to
story
happen.
To progress.
Was the only thing. They're both still really great. Love the series, especially the Oathbound ending. Tracy Dion, I need to read.
I have the first one, and I've never started it.
And we're going to talk about this again, spoiler alert, for a different episode, but you would love it. I promise you, you will be obsessed. It is so good. It is just chef's kiss.
It's one of those things where, like, I cut off my nose to spite my own face. When everyone's like, you have to read this, you're going to love it, it's the greatest thing ever, everyone's reading it, you have to too. I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to do it.
Don't.
You don't know me.
Cut yourself off from good things, because this is phenomenal. And what's cool, too, is like... to hear how she wrote, like, oh, this series was only supposed to be three books, and I heard five now, for sure one more, but there could be two more, and where they're at, I'm just like, I can't imagine not having this book and all these characters and all the development you did, because if you just tried to do this in three books, I'm not saying it couldn't be done, she's a really great writer, but it would have just been really different. I don't know how that would have worked out.
And you'll never have to know.
Thank goodness I will never have to know, because where we're at is so good and so scary. And that is all. That is all.
I do love that. I'm going to have to, maybe now that I'm starting my fantasy, I got three fantasy books for Christmas. Maybe that'll really kindle my fire. Do you want to talk about your favorite read on the list or not?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. You know what? And what I'm so bummed. Okay. So okay. My brain is like 75 different places. After I finished, because I wasn't a fantasy binge, and after I finished Cold Wire, I was like, I really want to read When They Burn the Butterfly, which was one of your suggestions. It sounds so good. I'm still going to read it. I pre-ordered it. And then I was trying to read it, and I was like, I don't know. It took me like a week to read anything after finishing Cold Wire. So nothing against the book, but I am mad at myself. I didn't read that yet this year. Because I'm assuming that could be like a top pick, to be honest.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I got for Christmas.
Ooh, yay, buddy read. Make me read it. Let's do it. I honestly, like, probably What Hunger, to be honest. That would probably be my favorite.
It was also one of my favorites. I don't think favorite, though. And I am struggling. Hold on. Because now I brought up this question, but I am not prepared to answer it.
And you don't have a favorite. Wow.
I am torn. Because I surprised myself by loving The Night and the Moth by Rachel Gillig so much.
Okay.
It's like a gothic fantasy. It has one of the best sidekicks I've read since Meffy.
No way.
I loved the sidekick in this book. I love a stupid... I don't want to explain it because I want everyone to read it, but there's a gargoyle in this book.
Is he a very good?
He's very good.
Okay. Then
he's a doofus, and he just, like, cries all the time, and I love him so much. He calls everyone Bartholomew. It's... I... Honestly, the book could have been absolute, utter garbage, and I would have given it 5 stars for Gargoyle.
That's amazing. I love that. Okay.
So that's one of my favorite reads. But I also really loved Heavenly Bodies by Imani Eriu. I might be saying that wrong. And I do apologize. And this one had a first life as like a TikTok star. I think it was like a Kindle Unlimited push through.
Okay.
And they pulled it because it got picked up by someone.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah. I don't remember who it got picked up by, but they re-released it. And I listened to the audiobook on Libro FM, and it was just really good. It was, you know, it's a familiar fantasy storyline, but I loved the way it ended. I don't really want to go into it because I went into it relatively blind. I was like, ooh, Heavenly Bodies, love the cover. I'm in. And that one has had a hold on me for a while, and I just picked up the sequel, and I'm excited to listen to it, so.
So wait, question, was it our favorite reads of 2025 as a whole, or just the list?
Oh, 2025 as a whole.
Okay, because then my answer is going to be very different. Do you ever look back at your list and you're like, wow, I read that this year because now I feel like I have 75 answers for you.
Right. That's like, I was scrolling through mine because I also loved The Bane Witch. I loved Bat Eater and Other Names for Corazang. Like, there are so many books I read this year that I was like, ooh.
Well, yeah. So, like, I know on your recommendation, I read We Used to Live Here.
Ah, yes.
That one was so good. I loved that. Also, The Raven Scholar. I loved that one so much. And that was one that I had heard someone talk about. And I was like, okay, could be good. I didn't really see that many people talking about it. And it is so well done. There's a perspective you don't expect. And you're like, wait, am I reading from the POV of this? And you are. And it's so cool.
Yeah, I picked that one up. And that's on my 2026 fantasy list.
Yeah, that one, I would go with those as like other notable books too. Shall we talk about what we want to read in 2026?
Let's!
How much, okay, what is your bet that ours are the same?
I bet if we tried real hard, half of the list is the same.
Okay, do you want to kick us off?
Sure, since you mentioned We Used to Live Here.
I knew it. This is on my list. I knew it.
I am very excited for The Caretaker by Marcus Kleiwer. One day I'll say a last name correctly and everyone will be impressed.
And you'll get a round of applause.
Yay! So here is the description. Following the rites, nothing less than the survival of humanity is at stake. This is a supernatural horror about a young woman who accepts a caretaking job from Craigslist, only to discover the position has consequences far greater and more dangerous than she could have ever imagined. Exciting opportunity. Caretaker urgently needed. 3 days of work, competitive pay, serious applicants only. Macy Mullins can't say why the job posting grabbed her attention. It had the pull of a fisherman's lure, barbed hook and all, vaguely ominous. But after an endless string of failed job interviews, she's not exactly in the position to be picky. She has rent to pay, groceries to buy, and a younger sister to provide for. Besides, it's only 3 days' work. 3 days cooped up in a stranger's house surrounded by Oregon coast wilderness. What starts as a peculiar side gig soon becomes a waking nightmare. An incomprehensible evil may dwell on this property, and Macy Mullins might just be the only thing standing between it and the rest of humanity. It's giving The Spite House.
It is, but I also want to know what those little symbols at the bottom of the synopsis mean, because it looks like something that might not be a typo.
Oh, no, that's definitely there on purpose, but I wasn't going to read dash, dash, dash.
You don't read Morse code?
Backslash, dot, 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 dot.
I am.
Oh, is that SOS?
I don't
In Morse code?
I don't know.
I don't know either, because I'm from this century, so.
I was like, if you think I know Morse code, I don't know who you're talking to. Who do you think you're talking to? I am very excited for this one. I have been since I heard about it. I did request it on NetGalley, but I think Atria's publishing it, and I was like, I'm not getting this. I have to wait until April, so
we'll yeah, see. I want to do the audio, because I did the audio of his first novel, and I loved that, so.
That was really good.
I'm holding out for audio.
Glad you're strong-willed. I said, request, please give it to me. And they have
something
yet,
about so. The rejection of a NetGalley request. I can't.
I don't care anymore.
I'm dwelling on it.
I guess
for weeks. I'm like, why do you hate me?
It's because your ratio is like 17%.
Excuse me, it's not that bad. Actually, it's a lot worse because I just was like, oh, look at all the audiobooks they have available.
I know, they had some good ones. They had some good ones. Speaking of one that I requested on NetGalley immediately after reading the synopsis is Japanese Gothic by Kylie Lee Baker. This comes out the same day as The Caretaker.
Big day. Big day for insane people.
You know what? Not only that, but side note, because two of my picks... this applies to as well. My birthday's on a Tuesday this year, and there's really good horror books publishing on my birthday, and I cannot think of a better gift. This is not one of them, but that's okay. This one, though, I need immediately. I don't know what it is about this synopsis, but it's going to do something to my brain. I can feel it, and I just need it to happen right now. So, October 2026, Lee Turner doesn't remember how or why he killed his college roommate. The details are blurred and bloody. All he knows is that he has to flee New York and go to the one place that might offer refuge, his father's new home in Japan, a house hidden by sword ferns and wild ginger. But something is terribly wrong with the no... That's not the correct sentence. But something is terribly wrong with the no animals will come near it. The bedroom window isn't always a window. And a woman with a sword appears in the yard when night falls. Absolutely not. I'd be like, Dad, I need to leave. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, Daddy, but I have to go.
And then we have October 1877. Sen is a young samurai in exile hiding from imperial soldiers in a house behind the sword ferns. A monster came home from war wearing her father's face, but Sen would do anything to please him, even turn her own sword on her own mother. She knows the soldiers will soon slaughter her whole family when she sees a terrible young foreign man who appears outside her window. One of these people is a ghost, and one of these stories is a lie. Something is hiding beneath the house of sword ferns, and Lee and Sen will soon wish they never unburied it.
Dun dun dun.
Excuse me, like, I need that immediately.
Yeah.
Like, right now.
I'm pretty excited about that one. I really loved Bat Eater and Other Names for Cora Zhang.
Mm-hmm.
I just think she's a really talented writer, and that story appeals to me so much. Growing up in the time when, you know, we were remaking classic Japanese horror, we did The Grudge, and they remade The Ring, and then I went back and I watched the Japanese versions, and I've watched the Japanese TV show. Like, I love Japanese horror, so I think that is part of the reason why I'm so excited, but...
I can't wait. I'm so... excited. I will sell my soul for that book.
I will do unspeakable things.
I will do unspeakable things to get my hands on it early.
So one that I recently did get is The Red Winter by Cameron Sullivan.
Ooh, I haven't heard of this one.
Okay, I changed my mind because I don't want to read the synopsis because it's 7 pages long. All right, I'm going to read at least half of this. Okay, ready? Okay. A devastating love story, a bewitching twist on history, a blood-drenched hunt for purpose, power, and redemption. In 1785, Professor Sebastian Grave receives the news he fears... These are written funnily. They're like, the sentences are not sentencing. Receives news. He fears the terrible beast of... Givaudan has returned, and the French countryside runs red in its wake. Sebastian knows the beast. A monster slayer with centuries of experience, he joined the hunt for the creature 20 years ago and watched it slaughter its way through a long and bloody winter. Even with the help of his indwelling... Cancel the podcast. Delete the podcast.
This is so fun. I can't wait to keep going. I can't wait to talk about I, Medusa.
A demon lives inside of the man. And... and that's bad, probably. We'll find out anyway.
In what scenarios would that be good? Like, when would that be a good move?
I don't know. Sometimes if you're up to a little mischief, your inner demon probably helps.
That's very fair. Continue.
All right. 2 decades later, Sebastian has been recalled to the hunt by another man. No. Yes. an estranged lover who shares a dark history with the Beast and a terrible secret with Sebastian. Drawn by both the chance to finish the Beast for good and the promise of reconciliation with Antoine. I don't know this other man. I don't speak French. Sebastian cannot refuse. Can you cut this whole section? Just delete this. Just delete it. Sebastian has unfinished business everywhere he looks. Years of misery have driven the people to desperation, and France teeters on the edge of revolution. Sebastian's arcane activities, not to mention his demonic counterpart, have also attracted the inquisitorial eye of the French clergy. Never a good thing. I added that. And the Beast is poised to close his jaws around them all and plunge the continent into war. That's the end of the description. This is a debut author. There are more words that I will not be reading because
there's more of a synopsis than what you just read. You kept going and I was like, this is still...
We're lifting the veil on the hidden world behind our own, and it reimagines the story of Europe from Imperial Rome to Saint Jeanne d'Arc.
Yeah, it does.
Isn't it Joan? That's the American Joan way to say it. That is not how it's spelled.
They spelled it in French.
I don't speak French, clearly. Anyway, there's a bunch more words, and I'm not going to read them. But this is like a historic horror, which is, I feel like Stephen Graham Jones kind of kicked that off. I not really, but his book was so popular last year. I feel like you're going to see more of it, and it won't probably just be like, Isabel Cañas does it really well. We talk about her a lot. I've talked about her today already. But I do like a little historical horror, so.
Me too.
And too bad no one will ever know that, because you're going to cut that whole section out. No.
That is so staying in. That was magic. That was brilliant. Well, since you went back in time with your next pick, I'm also going to go back in time with one. When I read the synopsis, I was also like, ooh, gimme, this sounds so cool. And that is She Made Herself a Monster by Anna Kovacheva. This is one of the ones that comes out on my birthday. So happy early birthday to me, because it is a quote-unquote heady, dark-hued, gothic gem of a debut. So... that's all we need. We make monsters in order to destroy them. For thousands of years, we've named witches and burned them, suspected demons, and exorcised them. When crops die and children fall ill, who better to blame than a monster? In 19th century Bulgaria, Yana rides from one desolate town to the next, staging grisly displays while the villagers' animal corpses in the public... This doesn't also make sense.
See? It's harder than it looks.
No, it's just the sentence doesn't make sense to my brain. Staging grisly displays while the villagers' animal corpses in the public square.
The villagers are animal corpses?
I guess so. Eggs filled with blood in the chicken coop. She tells the stricken villagers stories of vampires that stalk the night. Then Yana eliminates the threat and leaves seeds of hope in her wake. The village of Koprivici, however, is plagued by exceptional illness and misfortune. Its children rarely survive infancy. There, Yana meets a headstrong orphan who the villagers blame for their curse. As Anka approaches womanhood, the village captain is grooming her for marriage against her will. Yay, yuck. Gross. Anka is powerless against him. That is until Yana arrives. Together, the orphan and the vampire slayer hatch to conjure a monster so vile it might provide cover for Anka to escape, but their plan quickly takes a horrifying life of its own. And dun, I guess dun, this dun. Is inspired by Slavic folklore.
I love it.
Yeah, all I need to hear was a self-proclaimed vampire slayer and a who's a traveling con artist fights demons. So like I take I'm my in. Money. Thank you.
I'm ready to go.
Me too.
Sign me up. All right. My next one, which I sent to you, is You Should Have Been Nicer to My Mom.
I cannot wait for this one. This I love. One title, 10 out of 10. Great. So good. And the synopsis.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Get ready. We're going to not shut up about this book.
So this is by Vincent Tirado, and I read, We Came Here to Welcome You, and I really enjoyed that one. So I was already primed to want to read this one. And then I read like the first couple sentences of something that was posted online, and I was like, oh, this is for me. Demons clash with inheritance claims as secrets unfold and violence is unleashed over 12 harrowing hours trapped in a house with the worst thing, family. When Poppy Ramone, the patriarch of the wealthy Ebro family, dies, he gives the family one last message. One of you is El Baca, the demon that I made a deal with. Get rid of them or you will be damned.
That's the kind of inheritance I want to leave behind, is just one of you is a demon, fight to the death, and then you get my spoils. Thanks.
Bye. Ziomara is the uncontested favorite of Poppy Ramone, and therefore the least liked in the family. Watches as everyone dismisses this as a joke of a senile old man and demands the lawyer obtain the previous will Poppy wrote. While the lawyer drives back to his office, a storm breaks out, forcing the entire family, Ziomara's aunts and uncles and cousins, to remain in the house. And the words of Poppy's will hang over their heads, even heavier than the rain clouds. Over the course of the night, scandal after scandal is revealed to the public about the family. Suddenly, a tense few hours of surviving her family turns into a vicious night of recrimination, violence, accusations, and murder. Ziomara is faced with an impossible task: uproot a demon and somehow kill it, or excise the ghosts that linger within her own family. And the clock is ticking.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
These have a lot of grammatical issues, these synopses.
Yeah, I was noticing that.
Like, they're missing words and just... They're really hard to read.
That one does sound good, though. I am very, very excited for that. I think it's going to be another really good year for horror. Most of my ones I'm excited for are horror books, even the ones I didn't list, like Headlights by C.J. Lead is coming out, and that one's going to be fun.
I don't like that cover at all.
Oh, I think it looks so cool. The synopsis also sounds so awesome. But another one, and I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen a couple people get arcs of it. And this is Nothing Tastes as Good by Luc Dumas.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Was it one of yours?
Yeah.
Okay, well, people are comparing it to The Substance, so we'll see. I'm always a little leery of when they do those movie comparisons, just because it's big and it's like only a sliver, but I don't know, we'll see. It still sounds good. So this one follows retail worker Emmett Truesdale. He's never fit in the Southern California mold of six-pack suntan masculinity. Over 300 pounds, he carries the weight of his childhood trauma and millennial ennui around his waist and in his soul. After trying every diet under the sun, he remains stuck in his dead-end job, in love, and in his body. Desperate to find help, he enrolls in a clinical trial for a new weight loss product called Obexity. The treatment is as horrifying as the results are miraculous. As he sheds pounds, every part of his life improves overnight. Unfortunately, Obexity comes with some killer side effects, including lost stretches of time and overwhelming cravings. Hopefully it's cannibalism. That was me, not the synopsis. Worse, people who were cruel to him have started disappearing. And when the police warn of a cannibalistic killer on the loose, should have just waited. He fears that Obexity is turning him into a monster. But how can he give up that now that people are finally starting to treat him like he's human? Ta-da! That one comes out March 31st.
Yeah, that one is also on my list. The cover gives me the ick, but I am here for special need, as per usual, because I am unwell mentally.
What's new?
Nothing!
And what's next?
My next one is The Last Contract of Isako by Fonda Lee.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so Fonda Lee is very famous for the Jade City novels.
That's what I was thinking.
Which I own and haven't read because I suck.
I haven't read them either. I've been meaning to. I hear they're really good.
Right. So this one's a standalone. It's a space opera where a corporate samurai fight beneath merciless stars, and death is always a mere breath away. Isako is a legendary swordswoman, but every legend has to come to an end. When her longtime client unexpectedly retires, she plans to walk out into the frozen wasteland of their planet with her head held high and her family enriched by her legacy. But when a competitor offers her a final mission, it's one she can't refuse. Soon she's thrust deep into a world of corporate espionage, duty-bound duels, and shadowy secrets. What she uncovers will change humanity's existence in the stars forever. The last contract of Visako is the space opera you didn't know you needed. Corporate samurai in space. So the synopsis is short, and it does tell you what the book is about, but does it really? I don't care. I need space samurai. So here I am.
Yeah, space corporate samurai? Take my money.
Yeah.
That does sound really good. One I'm really excited for, and this is because I think this is, it's taken a while for their books to be translated, and I just heard about this, and it's The Secret Dinner by Rafael Montes. We briefly talked about this, because when I posted it, you're like, why are we excited? This is the same author as Perfect Days, which is such a great book, and this one I hope is just as messed up. And it follows Dante, Piglet, Miguel, and Hugo. They are your average students trying to make ends meet with part-time jobs, excited about the bright future at their fingertips. So when their rent skyrockets, they struggle to keep their new lives and big dreams afloat. They need to make money however they can. In order to keep their apartment, the friends adopt an unorthodox plan and soon are sucked into a dark world of secret dinner parties catering to the twisted fantasies of Rio's elite. What starts as a joke quickly spirals out of their control. As the four friends fall deeper into this dark underworld and earn more money, the stakes get higher and the consequences deadlier, revealing the twisted depths that lurk within each of them and threatening not only their friendships but also their lives. So that's August 4th, apparently.
And that sounds delightful. But oh, it's not gonna be a trip. All.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a terrible time.
But at the same time, truly horrible.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
If you, like me, have recently discovered that Heated Rivalry is your Roman Empire, next year in March, there is a book coming out called Hold Me Like a Grudge by Celine Ong.
Okay.
When a fierce rivalry between two professional wrestlers grows increasingly heated, neither man can fight the attraction burning between them in this dazzling debut romance. That's right. They are like WWE wrestlers who smooch. Oh,
I love this so much. This is amazing.
I could not be more excited. From dramatic character gimmicks to death-defying stunts, everything in the world of professional wrestling is an act. Asher Ross's hatred for Caleb Knight, however, is not. When Asher gets drafted to Global Elite Wrestling's main roster, playing the role of Caleb's worst enemy, the face to his heel should be easy. Stripping him of his world championship title should be even easier. But as the two men trade barbs and blows across arenas, they're each surprised to find their chemistry is so sizzling it can't just be for the cameras. Through training sessions, rehearsals, and injuries, Caleb's icy demeanor melts away, and Asher begins to see the real man behind the cruel persona GEW has molded Caleb into. An unlikely truce evolves into feelings neither want to deny, but the company won't let them be seen as anything other than bitter rivals, both in and out of the ring. As Asher and Caleb grapple with what they truly want in an industry with a history of denying queerness, their forbidden romance comes crashing down on them, and both men are forced to decide if their relationship is real enough to last, and just how much they're willing to fight for it.
Yay! Sign me up. I don't read rom-coms, like, ever, but I will read this. This sounds great.
I don't know if this is the author or another person named Celine, but a person named Celine on Goodreads rated it 5 stars and said the author's a freak. 5 stars.
I hope it was her. I... God willing, it was her, and now it's like a good.
I'm gonna click. It. I never clicked on it because I saw it and I was like, that's hilarious. I choose to believe. Yeah, it's her.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah, or them. Sorry, I guess I don't know.
Oh, very fair.
Anyway, super pumped.
So I have 2 picks left, and I know you both know what they probably are. Do you want to take a guess at which one it is? I don't know how to make you guess. Otherwise.
Tapestry of Fate.
No, you know what? I didn't put that one on here because I was like, she probably will.
You're a horrible monster.
I mean, I'm so excited for that. What do you mean?
Now I'm looking at my list. The Swan's Daughter.
No, but I do really want to read that too.
All right, now I'm just saying words. The Deadbeat.
I forgot Deadbeat comes out next year. I suck.
I tried so hard just now. Molka.
That is one of them.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is one of them. Oh, yeah, well, I mean, special shout out.
to all those books I just screamed.
Yes, those are also all ones I really want to read. Yes, Mocha by Monica Kim, because if you have not listened to everything, we did read The Eyes Are the Best Part earlier last year when it came out. I loved it. Laura likes to eat eyes now because of it.
Oh, God, my favorite treat.
It's just so great. And this is her new one. And I actually, this is one of the ones that I got an ARC for. And I am trying my best because it doesn't come out until April. And I will be sad if I finish it very soon. So, Mocha is a noun. It's the Korean term for spy cameras secretly and illegally installed, often to capture voyeuristic images and videos. You already know point blank, this is going to get real weird with this author, so can't weird. Wait. Daye can't believe her luck when she finds herself in a whirlwind romance with a handsome, charismatic Hyuk Jun the heir to a multi-million dollar fortune. But then a shocking revelation threatens. The couple has been caught on spy cam amid Korea's growing Mocha epidemic, and the video is all over the internet. When Hyuk Jun flees the country to avoid the intense public scrutiny, Daye is left to grapple with the ramifications on her own, and the demons from a childhood long dormant begin to surface. Amid the chaos, she catches the attention of Jun Young, a nerdy, introverted IT tech at work. Jun Young he harbors a secret. He has been spying on the woman at work with his own hidden cameras.
Yuck.
As Daye's life begins to unravel, she unknowingly becomes sole target of Jun Young's perverse obsession. When the facts surrounding the invasion of privacy come to light, Daye is faced with the humiliating truth. Her pain and hurt turn to rage as she faces her past. Her desire for vengeance is insatiable, and she will not rest until the men who have wronged her have paid in blood.
I love that for her.
Amen, sister. Let's do it. I'm ready. We ride it on.
We support a woman's rights and a woman's wrongs, as per usual.
What's new? That will never change.
All right. My last one is Heir of Prophecy by Annalee Sabrana.
Okay.
Magic has always been something at the periphery of Audra's life. As a human, she knows that magic exists, but it is something that is beyond the mist. Until one day, the mist comes to shore, bringing with it the all-too-real Fae and upending Audra's life entirely. She is kidnapped from her home and taken to a school to be trained as a soldier by the priestesses, Fae beings who are an ominous presence with a cult-like mentality. Audra must band together with a group of other prisoners to survive their new world filled with guilds, magic, and danger. The priestesses are searching for their mythical heir of prophecy, who will save them from an eternal winter. They know the heir is among the student prisoners at the school and are getting more and more desperate to flush him or her out. What Audra needs to know is what exactly it means to be the heir, because she's pretty sure it's her. Her magic is wonky and exactly the way it was foretold, and as she tries to hide her true nature, something strange keeps happening. A vision. A very hot and very underworldly vision comes to her. And what he has to say will put her life in even more danger and force her to make a decision that puts the fate of the entire world at risk. All right, it's a hot, scary guy, right?
I was going to say a hot vision. I was like, okay, this took a turn. This is less right. than what I was expecting.
It's a hot, scary guy. Hot demon, maybe.
Hot demon. But
yeah, once again, foiled by the Goodreads book description.
They're just really coming after us today.
Yeah, the cover for this one is sick, so.
Hang on, I need to look this up now.
It makes hot underworldly dude makes sense now that I'm looking at the cover again.
Oh yeah, this is cool. Nice, okay. Well, now I can't wait to read this one too.
Yay!
Okay, my last one will also not surprise you because we've also talked about this, and it is Dead First by Johnny Compton.
Ah, yes.
Can't wait. This is the same author as The Spite House and Devils Kill Devils, which we are both big fans of. So this one follows a private investigator, Shyla Sinclair, when she's invited to the looming mansion of mysterious Texan tycoon Saxton Braith. She's a little more than suspicious. The last thing she expects to see that night is Braith's assistant driving an iron rod straight through the back of his skull. Scratch Uh-oh. That. The last thing she expects to see is Braith's resurrection afterward. Braith can't die, it turns out, but he has no explanation for his immortality and very few intact memories of his past, which is why he wants to pay Shyla millions to investigate him and bring his long-buried history to light. Shyla can't help but feel or can't help but be intrigued, but she's also trapped by the offer. He's made it clear that he knows she's the only person he can trust with his secret because he knows all about hers.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, give it. That's all I say. I want it.
Yeah, everything no he puts out, I'm going to buy, so.
Yeah, I know. I need to get, I didn't realize that he had a short story collection that came out like a couple weeks ago until it actually came out.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's called Midnight Somewhere. And some of the stories, they all sound really good. So I'm going to have to get that one too. But those are what we're excited for. That is our chaotic recap and chaotic look forward at 2026 and what we cannot wait to get our
would
grubby
think
little hands on.
That I am drunk, but I am not.
No, we're completely sober, you guys.
Just can't read out loud. So.
And it is really, really funny.
Not for me.
I saw you laughing. Don't lie to me.
I was having a mental breakdown. There's a difference.
Well, tune in for as long as you can, because I don't know how long we can keep this up if her mental break goes long.
Bye, podcast.
Yeah, it was nice. Well, you can't peace out yet, because we're almost to your favorite month, and you're going to make me read weird things, so. Wouldn't want to miss that now, would you?
No.
But we'll be back. I'm not sure when in our schedule we'll be posting this, but tune in, because I'm sure we're going to be back in sometime soon talking about another book and some lists and basically this.
So. I don't know. We don't know what we're doing, but we'll talk to you soon.
We will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.